Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Day to bring your brilliance in. I may be quieter. I might, well, I'll probably get a little bit randy. I got a couple of my pals with me here, and they always lift my spirits and my heart. And I met them through an organization. Basically, it was a forum where like-minded women, or sort of like-minded women, well, a bunch of women came together for some purposes. There was varied, but, you know, one of the main purposes was one thing. And so we all sort of congregated online, and I met some of the best friends of my entire life. So belonging, even to organizations that you may not necessarily stay with, or, you know, you may find that you're with them and, you know, your beliefs change, whatever, it still is a great step for who you are and for what it can do for you. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who believe that they're totally lonely. As a matter of fact, I worked crisis clinic on the phone lines several years ago. I was a volunteering nut. I volunteered practically every second of my time when I wasn't sleeping, and I almost never slept. But that was just who I was at that time, when I just sort of forgot that I needed to sleep and many other things. But I was younger. I'm so much better now, and who isn't better every day? But here's the thing. I would get phone calls from people who would complain that they were lonely. They were so lonely. And one lady in particular, and I think it's safe for me to say her name was Linda, because what Linda, I don't know, and I'm not picking on Linda's, but that's the name. And Linda would literally call. It was almost like I got her every week, and she'd say, I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely. And she was just so melancholy and so hurt, and she was so, it was almost like she was sucking all the emotion out of the room because she was so lonely. And I would literally go through conversations with her like a therapist, like, well, let's talk about your friends and family, or da da da. All of her friends and family were too busy. They were busy with their own lives. If you're hearing yourself and what I'm describing for Linda, and your name isn't Linda, or your name is Linda, listen to what I'm saying and hear how you're talking. Well, I've tried that. I've tried this. I said, what about, you know, having a get-together with your friends over to read books, or just so that you can have a monthly or weekly get-together so you can see them and this and that. Oh, I've tried that. Everything. And then we touched on volunteer work. I've tried that. So I know that the two ladies that happened to be either in the chat room or on the phone with me, they are these magnanimous people that, they may have tried some things, but they're always up for trying something new. Not everything, but, you know, within reason with their particular life. And if you're not willing to try something new, I have to think that somewhere in there you want to be lonely. And if you want to be lonely, then please don't whine to me. I know that sometimes whining is necessary. It is necessary. I've been accused of whining, but really it's just my way of connecting with the rest of the world. I have been accused of whining, and my sweetie says that we need to bottle it and sell it because then we would be billionaires. But so far I haven't found any place that wants to buy all my whining. But here's the thing. Let's seriously. There is no reason for anyone to be lonely in this day and age. And if you think that you're the quirkiest and creepiest or weirdest or funkiest our most unorthodox personality out there, that tells me that you believe you've tried everything, because there is everything out there. There's organizations for you out there if if you're a man and you want to dress up like a woman, and I'm not saying whether you're gay or not, and some of them are gay, some of them aren't. If you're a really important person and want to dress up like a woman and you're a man. If you're a woman, you want to dress up like a man, there's organizations for you out there. If you've got kinky boots type sexual appetites, guess what? And I'm not supporting this or not supporting this. I'm like, whoever you are is whoever you are. I do support you being who you are. I don't necessarily need to be involved with it, but I'm just supporting it. And all I'm saying is this. There is somebody out there who is doing or loving or rocking the same things that you like with just the law of averages. How could there not be? I don't know how many millions or billions of people there are on the earth, but there's gabs of people on the earth, and they're doing gads of things. There's gads and gads. There's a whole bunch of you doing all kinds of
gads.
Yeah. Do you write? Do you use your hands? Do you bird watch? I mean, come on, people. Maybe you just go sit out on your porch and you just, you know, watch the sky. Maybe that's all you like to do. And maybe you're a cloud watcher. Maybe you take photographs of strange cloud formations. If you think there's not someone else out there, you haven't looked. You haven't looked. Hey, I've done something that one of my pals, and I always call her out on here even though she's never around. She's too busy. She's like the rest of us. She's working 8 million jobs. But I told Marlene something about myself, and she said, "Boo, don't ever tell anybody that." Yeah, you see, you feel the love that you have from your friends who are trying to protect you. But I have this thing, like every once in a while, and I think it's probably just a protein deficiency or something, but every once in a while I just want to chew on rubber bands, you know? Okay. I bet you there's people listening to me right now who chew on rubber bands or have chewed on rubber bands, and there's probably people out there who, I don't know, do even more different, you know, eating stuff. I'll even admit that when I walk into a tire shop, I just might just get itchy. Just the smell of the rubber is just something about it. But it's called people who have that sort of, it's called pica. And generally it means that you have some kind of deficiency in your diet somewhere. And because it doesn't happen to me all the time, I go in waves, it really has to do with my nutritional changes. So there's a whole lot of people out there like me and at different levels. Some of them eat things that are almost horrific for me to even think about, you know, pins, needles, metals, and all kinds of stuff. There's probably a group out there for me if I wanted to be involved with people who ate more than rubber bands, but or chewed on them. I mostly chewed on them. But I'm not looking to get that. So here's a good way to start. Look for something you're really interested in. If you're really interested in chewing on rubber bands, I bet you can either start a group, find a group, or something. And starting a group is not as difficult as you would think. My sweetie started a group, which I wish I could have had him on here, but he's busy. But so he started an organization that literally raised funds so that they can help out disadvantaged people in the community. That organization, as they were raising funds, he's such a genius with this stuff. He actually took a lot of the funds that they raised and he started investing it in, you know, a good stock portfolio, and as they paid dividends, then he would reinvest, because in his mind, this is one way to keep the organization alive and continue to help people. And they continue to do fundraising. They don't hire a lot of people. They have chairmen on the board. He created a board, and those people literally donate so much money to be on the board, and they also are obligated to be involved with fundraising activities. That organization is worth millions. He started that. It's worth millions. He totally built that. It's going to go on many, many years beyond his life because he has controlled how things are going to be dealt with, so that people who might not be so great can come into the organization and they're actually expelled before they're able to do anything to get a hold of the money. So that means he was smart enough to make an organization that will continue to grow and help people. They help schools, they help individuals, people who need, you know, things to see, if they're having vision problems, people that are disadvantaged, like elderly or blind or whatever. I mean, amazing. And that's, he felt that there was a need for it. He started the organization, and there was all kinds of people who were part of it. So you don't even know what you start, how it's going to affect the lives of the people around you. Now, let me just read some of these things that you could on. This is an organization that talks about reasons why you should join a student organization if you're in a U.S. university. And the reason I pulled this up is because a lot of young people are still trying to figure out their identity. And one way for you to figure out what things matter to you or what things you really like is to join an organization. Here's one of the first things that joining an organization helps you with, no matter who you are, no matter what age. And we are an ageless society. Age doesn't matter. That's my penchant. I'm just totally going for the time when nobody even mentions age. That's what I'd like to see before I die. But anyways, networking. It's the best way to network for students to have similar interests. So it can help you with your career, your hobby, or anything that you're passionate about. For instance, I'm a student in psychology, and many of you may have already heard this. There's an organization that's called PsyChi, and it's not a fraternity or sorority group, but it's the International Honor Society in Psychology. Well, you have to have a GPA at a certain level to make that. You have to attend a school that actually has one of their chapters. And I had been trying to get into the organization since I was an undergrad, and the school I was in hadn't solidified their chapter. Of course, they did after I left. I graduated. But that's okay. I actually got in. I was finally accepted in graduate school. And it's an organization that once you are accepted, you're a lifetime member. Thank you. And I'm in league with all these brainiacs around the world that are in psychology. Now, I do get information monthly, and there's events. They raise money to raise awareness for mental health and all the different aspects of psychology, the science behind it, the practices, application, and all that. And I'm pretty honored to be counted as a member of this organization. When I go to residencies, then I can meet with other PsyChi members. If once you're in this organization, there are even benefits. For instance, people like me, when we graduate, if I was so inclined, I could go work at the State Department, federal government, and they have to start me out at a specific GS level versus somebody who just comes off the street and goes to work for the government. They might have to start out at like a GS 1 or 2. I believe that for us, we have to start out GS 4 or 5 or 7 or something. But the point is, there are benefits that can affect your career. So if you're a little baby bud, or you know you're just starting out with your experience in school somewhere, get involved in an organization. You don't know where it's going to take you. And there's some famous organizations I'm going to say before I go into the rest that people may have heard of, like Eastern Star. My grandmother and my great-grandmother were involved with that. There's the organization for youngsters, I'll just say the less experienced ones that are not quite over 20 or something like that, like DeMolay and things like that. They're also involved with, I think, Eastern Star. There's organizations like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, and how many people they are networking with. You go to some conference and you don't even know anybody, and somebody says something to you as like, yeah, when I was in Girl Scouts, like, I was in Girl Scouts. Now you guys have something to talk about. You have somebody that you now know, even though you didn't know anybody in a conference of maybe 5,000 people. And you may then find out that there's probably another 100 people in the room that were involved with either Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. And all of a sudden, in a place where you didn't know anybody, you belong to a little microcosm group different from this big giant conference. You just have no idea. Well, you may. But those of you who don't, trust me, it's a great thing. I'm going to go on to the other things. I'm going to talk to a few of the other people. But here's the other thing. Here are the other reasons to join an organization, especially if you're a student. And students are ageless, God knows. Social skills. You want to learn how to talk to people and people from different cultures and countries. If you're an international student at a university, this is a great way for you to understand some of the cultural differences of the city, the whole city of the university you're attending, and so that you can actually navigate in that city much better or in that country much better. On top of that, if you're an international student, whether you're U.S. attending university in another country, or you're from another country attending school in the U.S., you are also bringing to them information about your culture. And that means that you're helping to raise their understanding about who you are, what background you come from. Try not to ever think in terms of, well, who's going to care about me if I'm from Afghanistan or from India or if I'm from Ireland? And U.S. students are only care about each other. That's so absolutely not true. And the one way that we all can make this world a better place is to interact with each other and get to know one another. For instance, when I was attending respiratory therapy school, there was a wonderful young man that I attended school with. His name started with an A, and he came from he was Eastern Indian. He was a really sweet, adorable man. And the people that I was in class with were not very bright. That's the best way I can put it. And they had gone, a group of them had gone to the teacher, unbeknownst to me, and complained that this guy had body odor. Now, it's sort of a bothersome story, but the teacher actually approached this student and told him that he really needed to step up his hygiene and take more baths. And I found out about it because one day I was getting ready to leave, and he asked me if he could catch a ride to a bus, whatever. But I took him home. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Come on, hey, let's go. And while we were in the car, he confided in me how ashamed he was that his instructor had to approach him for such a thing. When he had gotten to my car, one of the clear things that I could smell off of him was cilantro. And I'm just going to tell you that people who come from other countries use a lot of different spices, and they use them in varying amounts, way different than the very, negative, but bland. There's a lot of Americans who don't understand what spice is, and they're very bland eaters. And I know that they're okay with eating bland because I've been to Denny's and I've been to Vips and, honey, bland. Yes, I come from a Southern family. They call the cooking that we have soul food, and it's probably because it infused our soul with a little bit more than just bland. So this man used a lot of cilantro, which a lot of people who come from the Hispanic cultures do, or Southeast Asian cultures do. And it may come out. And there's a lot of spices. There's a lot of spices, curries and garam masala. There's a lot of spices that a lot of people from other cultures use. And it is not their hygiene. It just happens to come out. It's a beautiful aroma that comes out on their skin. So before you start some crazy stuff like that, if you're involved in an organization where you interact with people from other cultures and other countries, you actually probably raise your social knowledge on how to be around people, even if you are American and you're bland. You may find that when you are invited to their homes and you interact with them and their food, that you will no longer be a bland, judgmental person. You will get to eat some dang good food, and you'll find that you're not as smart as you thought you were. And I think you'll become a better person. So I was really saddened that this man felt this way and kept apologizing to me in the car. And if you know me, and if you don't, I can get really nasty when I feel somebody is harming somebody else's rights or mistreating them or making them feel less than. It is something that makes me sick to my stomach, and I won't stand for it. So don't make that mistake, whoever you are. If you're listening to this, please don't. Just respect the fact that other people are different. If you feel like you can't be around what their spices smell like, then, just stay home. Be bland by yourself. Okay, now, the other thing is on the list is professional experience. Now, this is a good thing for all you young, experienced kind of thinkers, and you're coming up in a school. You most likely, your organization is going to address the professional issues that come up with that particular organization. I know, like, for instance, in high school, there was an organization called DECA, and that was about getting students to learn about sales, salesmanship, businesses, and things like that. A lot of students who were in DECA got jobs right away in sales departments. When I was in high school, those are the ones who wanted to, of course, go out and get jeans, go work at jeans stores, because everybody wore jeans when I was in high school. Bell bottoms, everything. Jeans were everything, and they were prime. Everyone spent crazy, mad money on jeans. So people would go to work at DECA in hopes that they could get on at some great, like, jean shop. So there are professional experience that you can gain. If you are part of Junior Achievement, which I used to be part of, you could have been in several programs. One of them was the company program, and I used to be an administrator for several company programs. Sponsored my company, sponsored the financial part, and then my spare time, I was helping these high school students learn about running their own business, which I still think is important. It's like the earlier you learn, the more likely you're going to be successful at it. And people do better when they actually run their own business. Most of the millionaires that are in America are people that have built their own business and are entrepreneurs that work for themselves. And they're not, you know, they're not the kind of people who run around buying outrageous, fancy cars that basically could fund an entire nation. They're people who have come up with just simple working businesses. One of the articles I read, I posted to Facebook today or yesterday, they were saying that the average millionaire next door that we don't always realize are millionaires, they often have businesses that are, they said, would bore most people. Like maybe they have a business that created a specific little cog that could be utilized in all these different other businesses, or maybe they created a Post-it note or something. Post-it notes were built by somebody who, you know, made a mistake in a glue. At least that's the theory, a glue that didn't work, but it was just a little thing. And then look at Post-it notes today. I mean, there's all kinds of things today that you look around you and you think, oh, that's like a billion, trillion-dollar company. It started somewhere. So get involved with an organization. You don't know what it's going to do for your future. Might make you a millionaire. Either the way you think or the way you process or you do something. So get in there to those organizations. That's, if you want to be a millionaire, why aren't you in an organization, I will ask, no matter how old you are. Let's see. The other thing they talk about is personal development. Your communication skills are better. You improve those. You interact with people better. Look at organizations like Toastmasters. Matter of fact, there's a Toastmaster person online that I know of who joined Toastmasters, and it provided her with some really good personal development. And her life has been, you know, really moving fast-paced in a lot of ways from the things that she learned there. Lydia?
Yeah.
Couldn't you tell us a little bit how Toastmaster has helped you with your personal development?
Well, yeah, I will definitely do it. Well, in case you don't know, Toastmasters is a club that teaches you to public speak and is the most feared thing for people. It surpasses death. And Toastmasters has an amazing method to make you feel okay about it. And I was in a club here in Boulder, Colorado that was just absolutely amazing. And the walks of life, we had scientists, we had teachers, we had you know, the gamut, entrepreneurs. A lot of people joined the club so that they could go to businesses and talk about their product or what they had to offer. So it was absolutely amazing. It also was a very safe environment to learn. They didn't, you know, criticize you harshly. They constructively criticized you with lots of praise, and it was absolutely amazing, and these are our friends for life. And it is an international organization, and we had people from around the world. If you are in Toastmasters, you can go to any meeting anywhere on the planet. And if there's, you know, clubs on other planets, you can go to that too. And because we used to say we were the best club in the universe, in the known universe. But yes, yeah. I met people from India, all kinds of people from South America, Japanese, Chinese, Mexico, just an amazing amount of people that belong to this organization. And I'll tell you what, it was better than staying home and watching television. I learned so much. I was thoroughly entertained. You would listen to up to three to four speeches a night, and they did impromptu speaking. It was amazing. I highly recommend it. Wasn't expensive to join. It was very, very well thought out. It was thought out in the early 1900s, and it's amazing. There's chapters all over. I highly recommend Toastmasters.
See, and the things that Lydia is talking about covered all the things they was talking about before: networking, social
mm-hmm.
skills, professional experience, and personality development. Plus, it also, the other things, leadership skills. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this, don't you feel like you have more leadership chutzpah after that?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, they have two. When you join, you get a little guide, and you can go for a leadership badge, or, you know, degrees of leadership training, and you can go for just public speaking. Although if you're in the club, you know, they need leaders. They need people that will, you know, help organize the club, you know, do some of the duties that they need done. And so, of course, you know, I was in a leadership role. And so that was a real benefit that I didn't even think about. But yes, definitely, leadership is a big one, and this is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. This is tried and true, folks, and many people. There were people who stuttered that you know, these were very highly degreed people, and their boss said, you know, you need to work on this because I want you speaking in front of people. And you know what? It was really funny. We had two people in our class that would stutter, and they were the funniest of everyone in our group. They were absolutely hilarious. And and I saw them come such a long way. So, no, there's and, you know, was I scared to do it? Yeah, I was. But, I pushed through my fear, and I decided, you know, I had wanted to do it for a long time, but when I first checked it out online, there was, they met early in the morning, and I am not a morning person, so I was like, man, I can't do that. Then I found this chapter, and it was, it's about, I don't know, 4 blocks from my house, and they met at 7 o'clock at night. So, you know, they meet at all different times. Maybe you're a morning person, and maybe you'd love, you know, they have 6 o'clock in the morning meetings. No, thank you. I don't think I could speak, let alone, you know, pry my eyes open at that time. So, no, not for me, but it might be for you. So they meet all around. And usually cities and towns have, they might have several different chapters, and if they don't have one, you can do one yourself. You can organize one. You'd be amazed at how many people want to do this. Some people decided to join Toastmasters because their brother or sister were getting married, and they were going to give the toast, and they were petrified. You know, that it's funny for me because I speak on the radio. I've done public speaking. I've given tours, all that stuff. And so that's kind of funny to me. But, you know, like I said, it is a fact that it is the most feared thing for people to do, and it surpasses death.
Yeah, and that's just Toastmasters. That's just Toastmasters. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you there's so many reasons that we at some point would need to public speak. I'm not telling you need to run out to Toastmasters, folks, but the point is she's already covered all these things that you can get, and there are Toastmasters on campuses all across the United States and probably other countries as well. So if that sounds good to you, that's another organization to consider. If you're in a university, one of the other things they talk about for joining an organization is alumni networking. So you actually start connecting with other students that you may end up, you know, being connected with or running across after college. For instance, maybe one of the students you are attending college with is he's in dentistry, or one is an attorney. One never knows when an attorney may be needed in our lives, and through no fault of our own. It's a litigious nation, I'm telling you. So you might want to get involved even with organizations at your school where there are people that you think, hey, I'm someday I might need to know a marine biologist. I don't know. Whatever the different type degrees are going on in your school, you might want to, you know, take a gander at what organizations they're involved with. Who knows? You might meet your future spouse. I actually went to school with I went to a private Catholic college, and I cannot even believe how many times the girls were telling me that their parents sent them there to find an attorney or whatever. I know for sure that my mom really wanted me to just come here and meet a husband. It's like, okay, that's why you're taking pottery classes and sailing when the rest of us clods are taking engineering classes and calculus and chemistry. So, you don't know, but get out there, find your husband, find your leadership, find your development. And here's one that I'm going to have my other friend talk about, organization and management skills. Many of us are not really familiar with organizations and how they work and how to manage everything. You know, if you become part of the executive board, you really get firsthand on fundraising, the things like my sweetie did, how the finances work, how to figure out about the market, how to plan events. Nina, my friend Nina, she's involved with an incredible organization, and she's been involved for many years. Nina, can you tell us a little about yours? And you actually became president, so a couple of times, right? So you could talk to the organization and management skills?
Yeah, I was actually president 3 times over the last
year.
I've been in the organization for 34 years. It's called the Association of Oil Wives, and I belong to the Beaumont, Alberta, part of this organization. And we have executive members, and to run our own local chapters, and the president also has to speak at convention. Well, the first time I was president was 30 some years ago, I guess, and I had to get up and speak in front of 450 people.
How?
When I was used to only speaking in front of 17, 18. Well, I said to my vice president, because the vice president, of course, sits with the president and kind of takes notes and stuff so I can pay attention to what they're talking about. And, I said to her, I think I'm going to go to the bathroom now, so you have to get up. She looked at me and she said, Nina, you're going nowhere. You're getting up there. Well, I thought I was going to die that very first time, but I did it. I got up there, said what I had to say, and sat back
down. See, folks, she lived through it. She lived to tell.
The next year when I did it, because it's a two-year term that you usually sign up for, I had no problems getting up. It was just that initial fear of getting up there and talking in front of that many people. But this organization at the time I joined 34 years ago, we had members across Canada. We had one club in the U.S., and we also had another one over in Saudi Arabia. We no longer have any more in Eastern Canada because the oil has kind of died down in Eastern Canada. The one in Colorado, I believe it was in Boulder, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, but I think I'm pretty sure it was in Colorado. Not in Boulder, in, you know what I'm talking about, Lydia.
Denver.
But anyways, yeah,
Denver.
In Denver. Yeah, it's shut down now, too. And we just have, we have chapters in basically the western provinces, BC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. So there's still 34 clubs, but our membership has dropped, and we're just under 1,000 members now.
So
it was basically
you learned all this organization and management from being in this club.
Yes, I did. You have to be, especially if you're president. Like, I'd never been, you know, you get tossed in a position. I did one position before I became president because we were a small club, and they just basically felt that I could handle it. And surprise, surprise, I did.
Oh. See, love that.
There's no surprise
there. I love that about the organization actually pushing you just enough in what they saw in you beyond what you saw in yourself. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a social thing,
basically. You know, we do have things that we have to do because we do have a charter, and it is recognized by the Canadian government, so there is some business things that we do have to do as well. But it was started basically some almost 60 years ago for wives of husbands that worked in the oil patch, because let's face it, most of the time the husbands are gone, and they're gone for sometimes months at a time. So we were there to support each other while our husbands were gone and we were stuck at home with our kids. So that's how it all started. And it's been, because I've moved all over Alberta, it's been really a great organization to belong to, because it doesn't matter where I go, I know somebody.
Oh. See, that's speaking to the other part about these organizations. You learn how to work as a team, and you have the support, even though, say, like, well, she's talking about moving all over Alberta. If you have family, like we have, you know, I come from a big southern family. Okay, most of them were based in the south. When the family, some of them migrated here up to the north, they had each other. Like the first one didn't have somebody, but they somehow convinced other family members to come up north, and then that's where they would stay when they came up. They had somewhere to stay. They had somebody to, you know, help them when, you know, things got rough, kind of hard. This is almost like another family that you're growing for yourself. You're getting that support, just as Nina's talking about, supporting these other oil wives who are in the same position. They have children. Their spouse is gone. You know, it's just, you know, and imagine what it's done for the men. I know that they have other women that are in the same position that are going to make sure that my family's okay when I can't get there. This is something that military wives, you know, go through, and or military husbands. These organizations are big. They help you to learn how to be in a team. They can help you to grow a business. It can help you with your job. It can help you find friends if you are lonely. And listen, the eighth thing that they say, that reason you should start join an organization, is friendship and fun. You know, life is not just about career and making money. It's about building friendships and having fun. The three of us know each other because of this organization. And other, there's other women that we met and that we're still in touch with that just their lives matter. Their children. It's like all these nieces and nephews that are much bigger than what I have in my own immediate family. So don't cut off your opportunity to a better life, a much more rich and full life, by just not getting involved in something. And the beauty of this is you can get involved in whatever group you want. Maybe you're involved in sports. Hello, hockey leagues, this and this and that. There's all kinds of things. But joining an organization, and I found some organizations, just all you have to do is just put in join an organization. You just type those words in online. Folks, I don't believe that I'm telling anything that's new. And I believe that most of you have the brilliance to actually type in join an organization or any of the things I talk about on BYO Brilliance. But here are some of the organizations that I found just from this one site. It talks about Girl Scouts. It even gives you the links. This is the best part. Gives you the links. You can go straight to the website of these organizations. Check out what they say. Most of them, they'll say, this is our mission. This is what we're trying to do. How to join us. Become a member. There's one called Critical Issues for Youth. I'm like, what? And this group works with groups, with girls, parents, educators, philanthropists, and community members to address the complex and ever-changing realities of girls' lives in our global society. Here's one that I came up with that I'm thinking I'm going to join. It's called I Am That Girl. I Am That Girl. And it says that basically it's a 21st century movement, and they have a pledge. They even have a pledge. Here's the pledge that they ask you to take if you're going to become part of this organization. Be the best person of you. Don't let the world define you. Give compliments often. Have conversations that matter. Love yourself unconditionally. Realize your strengths. Have integrity. Pursue your passion. Work hard. Contribute to the world. Persevere even when it's difficult. Collaborate with girls instead of competing. Don't settle. Express vulnerability. Be honest with yourself and with the world. Nurture your heart's desires and rock your perfectly flawed beauty, full self. Just be you and own it. I mean, that's the kind of effing pledge I can raise my hand and say, yeah, hey, that's me. I am that girl. And honestly, I've been looking at organizations coming into this, and that's the one that, like, bonged me in the head. It is they even have, like, there's this mug that somebody had a picture on there. It says, I am focused. I am fearless. I am, you know, I'm a force or something. It's just beautiful that there is something like this out there. And the reason it's so beautiful and all these other organizations is, unfortunately, girls are the female species. Even though we outnumber the male species slightly, they're constantly repressed and subjugated, probably to prevent our incredible power from taking over the universe. But we're still taking over. It's okay, guys. Don't be so fearful. When we take over, we just want to be equal with everybody, not surmount everybody. Well,
right.
Most of us don't. So, because a few of my sisters do. Anyway, there's here's some other organizations, Distinguished Young Women. Now, women, I'm just giving a little bit more out there because you girls out there, whoever you are, you women, whatever kind of person you are, cross-dressing women, I don't care. If you got girl power, you got woman power, here's some great organizations for you no matter what. They have something called America's National Teenager, Best Bones Ever. Now, this one I thought was incredible. This is a campaign for girls 9 to 14 that focuses on fun and friendship, girls who grow strong, tighter, stay strong forever. The campaign encourages girls and their BFFs to get active and eat more foods with calcium and vitamin D to build strong bones for life. So it sounds to me like, you know, come on, here's an organization that's like, look, are you getting enough milk in? Are you getting enough vitamin D? Are your bones strong? But yet it's tailored to girls, like, you know, because many of us have a lot of eating issues based on the fact that we're always being subjugated and repressed and, you know, told that we're less than. And that happens to males, too. It happens to everyone. It's really a social thing. It's not a gender thing. But we're trying to pull women up who are so far behind. It's like we're just trying to catch women up. It's not that we're being discriminatory. We just want to catch us up. Catch up the brilliance that is feminine and beyond. Now, there's a whole bunch of them. I am that girl. I'm so totally rocking that. I'm going to be signing a pledge on that probably later today. But there's other organizations. Like I said, whether it has to do with Toastmasters, something that's business related, or something that's going to infuse your life with a skill that may have frightened you, maybe you want to learn how to skate. I skate. Yeah, I used to think that, but I'm going to let everyone else do that for now. There's other organizations that tend to people who are involved with disasters and helping people, you know, navigate when they've been hit by a disaster, and you don't have to go to Red Cross to do it. Yeah, they're the one that's got all the money bankrolled into them, but there's a lot of other organizations, like the organizations that have rescue dogs and the organizations that actually help foster the animals and pets that have been hit by all these natural disasters. They foster them at their farm, at their homes, at their friends' farms and homes until that their families can get back on their feet and get their little loved furry ones back. There's so many organizations. You don't even have to be involved in one that's in person. If you're still a little bit leery about meeting strangers, start meeting online, just like we did. And listen, folks, there's no reason for you to be lonely. There's absolutely no reason for you to be lonely. And I'll put it out there. This organization is about empowerment, the radio, the Essence of Success Radio Network. It's about empowerment for all people, male and female. Even though it is an all-women's, put together by all-women's network of host personalities, we all love men. We are all involved with men. We have brothers, dads, grandpas, sons, nephews, all kinds of neighbors. So there's a guy in your life somewhere. I don't care who you are. There's a woman in your life somewhere. I don't care who you are. And that's why it's important for us to equally support each other so that we can all live on this great, great, big blue marble in a way that's empowering for everyone. So anyway, I meant to talk about so many more organizations, but I think you got the gist of what's really great about this. We're just about out of time, so want to talk about the other shows coming up, but listen, people, if you haven't figured it out yet, my whole show is about feeling your brilliance. And I really want to speak to it all the time because I'm hoping that you're going to just step out and share it with the rest of the world, either in an organization, either with your friends and family. That's sort of an organization, although it's one you were sort of dropped into without choice, sort of, depending on your spiritual beliefs. But it's important. it's important to be involved with each other, because we all become better when we are all moving and connecting together. Okay, let's talk about the shows coming up, okay? Because there's some great shows coming up. For instance, tomorrow, Lennis at 7 p.m., she's in the studio with Lennis. It's at 7 p.m., just an hour later than this show started. And she goes over the sports and the hot topics and whatever kind of crazy celebrity nutballs are out there doing whatever. I'm not into celebrities, but you probably are. And even if you aren't, Lennis is going to tell you something. And when it comes to the sports, usually her producer, Chevenix Williams, has got something there, along with her feature, News of the Weird, which apropos comes from Chabonet's research. But it's usually a bit of a party or something. So pop in for a party tomorrow in the studio with Lennis at 7 p.m. The next day on Thursday, we have Filmcology with me and whoever else wants to pop in and talk about the movie if they've seen it or they know about it or some of the issues in the film. Filmcology is film plus psychology. And this film involves a hitman who is a loner, a loner, and likes being that way, and ends up having to deal with this little orphan urchin. And it's Natalie Portman's first feature film, and it's a brilliant film. It really is. And for those of you who are really into Gary Oldman, that hot commodity, or, well, I don't know if he's married or not, but he's just brilliant as a bad boy in every sense of the word. Remember Bram Stoker's Dracula? How many women were looking for long, curled guys with sunglasses and top hats? Come on. So, yeah, Gary Oldman is there, as usual, his brilliant self. It's a great film and acted by great people. Danny Aiello is in there, and he's a wonderful Italian U.S. actor who I adore him. He's a lot like my sweetie in every sense of the way. So join us tomorrow, 6 p.m., Filmcology, and Leon, the professional, or in the U.S. it was just called The Professional. Then we come to Friday, and here goes the next party. Lennis leads you into your weekend with Friday traffic jams. And even if she calls it in the studio, it's still Friday traffic jams. Starts at 5 p.m., and this week, I believe she's going to go with the blues. And that means you'll just have like a smooth drive on into your weekend. You can get with your honey and get jiggy with it. Okay, Saturday. We have Time to Love with Lydia Pello. Lydia, can you tell us a little bit about your show?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do the show on love and marriage, and it's going to be dedicated to my nephew and soon-to-be niece, Samantha, and they're getting married that day, and I'm going to go out of the ceremony for a little bit and just talk about love and marriage, and I do have a survey to fill out that I posted on Facebook. It's also on my webpage. So if you're so inclined, fill out the survey, then message me on Facebook, and I'm put you in a little thing to win a present from me. Yeah.
So. Hey, baby, it's cold. Sorry. I'm not
listen
sorry.
To, listen
I'm
to
just sorry, but that's my reminder that I need to go home. So, and which I am doing promptly in the next couple months. But anyways, yeah, so you're going to be doing that one live? Is that it?
Yep. Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Awesome. Love and marriage. I mean, I'll take part of that.
And, you know, it can also be, you know, marriage to me is any committed relationship. You know, that to me is a marriage, and you can sign the paper or not, but yeah. So, and my survey is on tips, advice maybe you would give people, maybe what you've learned from your marriage, you know? So, yes, show it out.
Yeah, and I'm going to go fill that out and give you all some advice from being unmarried.
I won't be able to give it to the married couple, but, you know, yeah, write some advice.
Yeah, okay. And then that show starts at 2 p.m. Pacific time, folks. So join us on Saturday with Time to Love with Lydia Pellow. Okay, sorry about that, sweetie. And then on Sunday, we have Psychic Readings with Lennis. And I don't know about you people must not know what a psychic reading is all about. Let's see. Her show's at 3 p.m., but she's still got this special going. The ninth caller gets a free psychic reading for an hour. Lennis, Lord have mercy. Anyway, Lennis, she does past life information. She can tell you what's going on with you physically. She has that skill to tell you if you feel like, you know, if you're worried that you might have some kind of bad thing or whatever. She can sense when there's some kind of cancerous thing going on. I've seen her do that. She can tell you what's going on with your grandchildren. She can tell you about most of the people in your life, people who have passed on. I mean, this is a really tried and true psychic. Been doing this for over 40 years. Incredible reading. I've had a few in my lifetime, and they still are with me. Some of the things she told me about my sweetie. She even told me about him coming when I was 18 years old. She told me about him. And it's funny because he was everything she said he would be. Everything. Except the frustrating part. She didn't mention that part, but I guess there's something to do with relationships or something. Anyways, so join us on Sunday for 3 p.m. at Psychic Readings, and keep calling in, folks. Nina and I have been grappling with that, but I think we're just going to have to go, kidnap Lennis, and we get all the psychic readings. Nobody. Maybe we'll just take over the show on Sunday. What do you think, Nina? And we'll just make her do readings on us. Okay? I don't know. Nina's gone. Okay. And then the next show that's coming up on Monday. This is why I have to take time because I the shows are so amazing. We have to talk about them. On Monday, the next show for Ellen B., Passage to Empowerment, is Illuminating the Man Cave with Sensitivity. And it is part two in our empowerment series where we talk specifically with one particular gender. Part one was this past week with women unleashing our power. Next week it's going to be with men, and we'll have three very special men on the show, two of my brothers and my sweetie. And I'm going to probably hide because they're probably, I don't know, one of them is going to be really gracious. The other one's going to. They're all my older brothers, so you know they're gonna tease me mercilessly. But anyways,
Brenda, wait a minute. You forgot to say something about one of your brothers. They may even know or have seen him in
which
movies
one?
Or on TV. That would be Mark. Mr. Mark Berry is a Hollywood actor. So yeah, and he is Brenda's brother, and he's going to be on our show as well as her very special brother.
What did you say?
As well as your very special brother, David. But, Mark, you guys are going to have a feeling we're going to have a rough time.
Oh, Mark, yeah. As my dad would say, have you talked to the celebrity? Or he'd say, or the star? Or he'd say, the actor? My dad was just a hoot, but... Yeah, my brother Mark is, yes, he is an actor, and he is very good in films, but if you ever get a chance to see a Mark Berry in a stage play, now, that's something that my sisters here haven't had a chance to see, but he is the most incredible stage actor you ever want to see. He is so brilliant. So, yeah, and although David did some acting in high school, I dare say just about all of us have been in a play somewhere, something about our family. But Mark is, yes, he was in Blade Trinity, and he was in a film called Delivered where the pizza man, something kept happening. People were dying after he delivered pizza. It was Mark plays a lot of cops and detectives and things like that. But he does comedy. He does all kinds of stuff. He's an actor. But he's pretty solid actor, including his personality. David is a writer and just incredible philosopher, and just they both have these gorgeous voices. You're going to be in love with them when you listen to them. And then there's my sweetie. Yes, I'll give him away, but you can't keep him. And he's got an incredible voice too. And he's the one I was telling you about who started the organization, Magdala. And so there are three men, and they have three different perspectives about the man cave. I can't even begin to tell you how – I can't begin to tell you about the conversation about man cave with my brother Mark. That's just too – it's too much for me to even carry on right here. But anyways, you'll have humor. You'll have some seriousness. There will be all kinds of perspectives. But if you're a woman and you're curious about the man cave and the men who kind of know about them or what they think of them, or you want to know how you can, you know, interact better with the men in your life and the power that they emit or whatever, please join us on Monday at 7 p.m., our new time show, Pacific Time. And that's in Illuminating the Man Cave with Sensitivity. We're the sensitivity part, I think. Unless you're talking about David. Okay, moving on. That brings us back to Tuesday. And next Tuesday, which is in keeping with where I've been. Come on, if you're following me, folks, come on, organizations, your true self, the brilliance of volunteering. I'm volunteering to give you my time doing this show. You may think that it's because I think I'm all that. Trust me, it's not about that. I do know that I'm all that, but not in that way. I don't really like to describe things that way. But I'm all that because I know that I am brilliant and it's within me. And that's what this show is about. And I'm volunteering my time away from my dissertation and the rest of my life and with my friends who have dedicated their time to volunteer to be here to help you understand how flippin' brilliant you are. So volunteering can happen in all kinds of ways. You go help your Auntie Nina in the garden pulling some weeds, or, you know, you grow some garden yummies and you donate it to people who need some food, Lydia, or you, Lennis, and somebody comes in off of a plane and they have no money and don't know how to get to their family. She either gives them money or gives them transportation or something. Or you mail. You make these creative art pieces incredible, and you undercut the price that they're worth so that other people can either use them or whatever. She's got such a giving heart, Melody. Good Lord. She's one of the unsung heroes of this world. One of the unsung heroes of this world.
Yes, she
and
is.
And if you really want to do something great with your life, you'll find out all about her and get to know her. So, calling you out, Melody. And so that's that, folks. The brilliance of volunteering. Join me next week, and let's infuse your brilliance with, you know, volunteering. Let's be brilliant, folks. Just be you. And you're already doing it. Thanks, everyone. I'm not going to play the end music today, but I'm just going to say thank you, Lydia and Nina and Lennis and Melody and anyone else who is listening. If you're out there on the archives, I am a little bit tired today. I'm not going to apologize for that because that's just what I am, and I'm honoring that. And so we're just going to go ahead and cut this down, even though we're like 9 minutes past. But really, it is all about your brilliance. And I do thank you out there in the archives, those who are listening. And I hope you join us next week when I will tell you the number, actually, maybe one time next week. Again, thank you for joining us. Live with brilliance. Good day,
good
everybody.
Night, folks.